Amen. Okay, I know you think I'm a harsh old preacher, and you're absolutely right. Do I feel bad about it? Absolutely not. I do not. Okay. I've been planning on bringing a message on Israel, the times of the Gentiles, and the signs of the times. Actually, there are some things that indicate the signs of the times. But also, I got to tell you, so Wednesday night, one of the guys brought something up, and I had no idea where it was in the Bible. Didn't even remember reading it. I couldn't even discuss it because I had no idea what it was all about. And I guess those things happen. That's the reason most preachers won't allow anybody to speak during when they're bringing a message or something, because when somebody does bring something up, they might not know how to answer it. Well, don't be afraid to do that around me, because if I don't have an answer, I really don't, doesn't bother me. I'm not that puffed up and that vain. So if you have a question that I can't answer, don't worry about it. I'm not gonna get all bent out of shape over it. These things happen. Nobody knows everything. Anyhow, when I went home, Mary called me up and said, "I know where that is, Pastor." And I said, "Good, tell me, because I still haven't found it. I was looking for it." But anyway, it was in Judges chapter 11 and 12, but we're not going to talk about that this morning. What we are going to do is we're going to lay the foundation for some things in Joshua, also Judges, and the rest of the Bible, but we're also going to get on the times of the Gentiles, the nation of Israel, and the signs of the times. So take your Bibles, if you will, this morning. I really don't know where I want to begin, but turn over to Luke chapter 1, if you will. We're just going to look at a couple of verses here. Luke chapter 1, verse 21. Luke chapter 21, verse 24, if you will. Luke chapter 21, verse 24. And Romans chapter 11, verse 25, and we're going to kind of hurry through this morning, so you probably won't get too much out of it, but we got a lot of ground to cover. In Luke chapter 21, verse 24, Christ said, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations." Who's he talking about? Israel. "They shall fall by the sword, by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." This is literally taking place. It has been taking place since 70 AD by the Romans. It's still being fulfilled today, and it'll be complete. The word fulfilled means complete. Now, the times of the Gentiles be complete. Turn over, will, to Romans chapter 11, if you will. Chapter 11, verse 25. Paul the Apostle said, verse 25, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." Now I'd like to explain something to you here, if I may. Some people think that the times of the Gentiles and the fullness of the Gentiles were two different things. I don't think so. And I'm going to tell you why. The fullness of the Gentiles, if you remember, till the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, we just read in Luke chapter 21. And the word fulfilled means literally complete. And then the word fullness in this verse here means complete. So the times of the Gentiles and the fullness of the Gentiles, in my opinion, are the same thing, and the times of the Gentiles will be complete at the end of the seven-year tribulation when Jesus Christ comes and sets up the kingdom to the nation of Israel. And so we are living in what is called the times of the Gentiles, which means simply this. Israel is set aside. They have been for a long time. The times of the Gentiles began when Israel was taken captive into Babylon. And since that time, we've been living in the times of the Gentiles, which means God is allowing the Gentile nations to rule the earth. is basically, simply, what it means. And they will rule the earth until Jesus Christ comes and sets up his kingdom. Does that mean God is not in control? Absolutely not. God is just sitting back, allowing the Gentiles to run rampant, to run the earth, run the world. And if you look around the world today, it should be easy to see the times of the Gentiles being fulfilled, being complete. And I'm going to give you some indications concerning that here. If you will, turn over to Leviticus chapter 18, if you will. Leviticus chapter 18. And I want to do this to give you an indication of what the times of the Gentiles is all about. If you watch the news media, you ought to be able to see the times of the Gentiles being complete, being fulfilled today. In Leviticus chapter 18, God says to the nation of Israel in verse 1, "The Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God." Verse 3, "After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, to which I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. You shall do my judgments, ordinances, and keep my ordinances, statutes, to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord." What does he mean by that? Well, if you do it, you'll live in it. If you don't do it, you'll probably die. I see a lot of Christians die prematurely because they don't live the Lord's judgments, his ordinances. Then he goes on to tell them what they should and should not do. "You shall keep my judgments. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. The nakedness of your father, verse 7. The nakedness of thy father's wife, verse 8. The nakedness of thy sister, verse 9. The nakedness of thy son's daughter, verse 10. Nakedness of thy father's wife, verse 11. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister, verse 12. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, verse 13, etc., etc. Goes on down. All the things that you should not do. Verse 20. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. You see that taking place today? You better believe it. Verse 21, "And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. Neither thou shalt thou profane the name of thy God, I am the Lord." Molech, we don't want to get into all that, but they were actually, literally, the people that they were, God was replacing in Canaan and all the abominations, the Gentile, the heathen nations, and they offered their children, their little babies, their little infants, as an offering on an altar. Killed them. So when you see it take place in the movies, it's no big deal. It's been happening for hundreds and thousands of years. "Thou shalt not lie," listen to this, verse 22. "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, it is an abomination." In other words, God said, if you're a man, you don't lay with a man, you don't love a man, you don't marry a man, you don't have a relationship with a man, it's an abomination. And if you're a woman, you don't lie with another woman, like Rosie O'Donnell. And I hope Donald Trump sticks it to her. He says she's ugly on the outside and the inside. I think he's absolutely right. Doesn't mean Donald Trump's the nicest guy in the world either. But I'll tell you what, I'll take him over Rosie any day. A man does not lie with a man. I can't imagine anybody doing that. That's beyond me. I can't fathom it. It makes me sick to think about it. God hates it, and I'm not crazy about it myself. And if someone that was a homosexual come into my church and wanted to be a member, we'd have to go somewhere and have a talk. And if someone that was a homosexual wanted to, as a matter of fact, we did talk to someone about that not too long ago, and I said to him, the best thing you can do is send them to a church where they'll feel comfortable. Because when a homosexual comes into a church that's Christian, the homosexual doesn't feel comfortable, and neither does the rest of the church, and I don't want my church feeling uncomfortable. I would much rather you went somewhere else. I don't have anything against them, but we'd have to have a talk. And then he goes on down to say, neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself. That's pretty sick, isn't it? But you know what? It happens all the time. Verse 24, God said to Israel, defile not ye yourselves in any of these things. For in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. Let me explain something to you. You know, that's a terrible thing. God took the land from the Canaanites and the Hittites and all these other sites, and he took the land from them and gave it to Israel. So what? They didn't deserve it. Did you ever read about Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis chapter 19? They didn't deserve it. You know what all these things do? They create such things like AIDS. We're supposed to feel sorry for people with AIDS who acquire it from sexual acts. I don't. I don't feel sorry for them. The only ones I feel sorry for are those who get AIDS accidentally from blood and so forth that darn lousy, good-for-nothing homosexual gave so that other people would get blood, would get AIDS, so the government would find a cure for it. And I hope God deals with them idiots real soon. The homosexual gives blood so that young babies and young children and young people and anybody else will get AIDS so our government will find a cure for it. That's an abomination. And all these things are taking place because Israel rejected their God in 1 Samuel chapter 8, and God gave the world over to the Gentiles. Israel is the root of the problem. And then he goes on to say, and the land is defiled, therefore. I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes, my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations. Neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For, verse 27, pay attention to this if you will. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, who were before you, and the land is defiled. Let me tell you something, folks. If you don't see a problem in the United States of America, you have a problem. We got people like Barney Frank, a homosexual congressman, making decisions in your government, and I'll tell you what, I don't like it, and I hope God doesn't like it. I have absolutely no use for Barney Frank. I don't care if just because he's a Democrat or Republican, I don't care what he is. He's a homosexual. You know what he did? He had a young boy in his home, a homosexual, who was selling other homosexuals. It's called prostitution. But it was male prostitution in his home, and he was not condemned for it by the rest of the Congress. That is sick. And these are the people that are running your government, and he's not the only one. I'll bet you 30% of our congressmen are homosexuals. And you might not like this, but I honestly think that Hillary Rotten Clinton is a lesbian. Now, I know you won't like that, but I don't care what you like.
That's why her husband, she's gone.
Yeah, I don't blame him. And Bill Clinton hired at least 6 lesbians when he was in office to hold high political positions. One of them, as a matter of fact, marched with her lady lover, a judge, in a parade in San Francisco, openly. It's a great world we live in, isn't it? Well, hey, we live in the times of the Gentiles. God said, I don't like it. For all these abominations, verse 27, have the men of the land done who were before you, and the land is defiled. That the land spew not you out also when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, this is what God said, for whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off from among the people. You say, why doesn't God do that today? Because he was talking to Israel. He finally gave Israel over to the times of the Gentiles, and that's why God doesn't spew them out today. I'm sure he would like to, but he doesn't. Therefore shall you keep my ordinance, and that ye commit not any of these abominable acts, customs, which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. Turn over here, if you will, to chapter 20, Leviticus chapter 20. Go, if you will, to verse 13. And I'm going to tell you what God has to say about this. This is not my words, but I feel pretty much the same way. And if a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. Now, I didn't say that. I just read it. God said it. But I feel the same way. If you think homosexuality is okay with God, think again. Sometimes you say, well, God created them that way. No, he didn't. If God created them, then God is a liar and a hypocrite. God is not a liar, and he's not a hypocrite, and he did not create them. Oh, but he was that way from his birth. No, he wasn't. No, she wasn't. Yeah, but poor little Rosie, she can't help being like she is. The heck she can't. I don't like Rosie. I'll tell you the truth. And I don't have to, by the way. Well, but preacher, you're supposed to love. I don't love Rosie, not at all. Go, if you will, to Joshua. I'm going to ask you a question. Joshua chapter 6, and I'm going to ask you a question this morning. And we're going to go through parts of Joshua and parts of Judges, and we're going to touch on some of these things. It'd be a good idea if you make some notes in your Bible. In Joshua chapter 6, you have to remember some things here. We were going to touch on some things in Deuteronomy, but we won't have time to do that. But in Joshua, the nation of Israel, now remember this thing, look up here for just a minute if you will, I'm going to explain some things for you historically. God took Israel out of Egypt. When he did, in Deuteronomy chapter 1, he put them in the wilderness. You know what the wilderness is? The wilderness is a type of a Christian testing ground. God told Israel, it's 11 days journey from the wilderness where you're at to Kadesh Barnea. 11 days. You know what that is? That's your Christian journey. 11 days. Just a short 11 days. I'm sure many of you have had a vacation. Probably lasted for about 11 days and it was over with. Well, not very long. So God put you in the wilderness. That's your testing ground. From there, it's 11 days to the promised land. You know what the promised land is? That's where every Christian goes when they're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. The promised land. It's the land of plenty. It's the second rest. It's where you go when you're serving God. Israel failed. And so they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. That entire generation died in the wilderness because they would not go into the promised land. You know what they said? We can't go in there. There's all those Hittites and all those giants. And God said, I gave it to you. Go in and possess it. They said, we can't. And so God said, because you didn't believe me, you didn't trust me, you didn't believe in me, you're going to wander in the wilderness. So they died. All you have to do is read Deuteronomy chapter 1. And so you Christians, every Christian has the same opportunity. You can believe God, serve Him by faith, Or you can wander in the wilderness your entire Christian life. You know how many Christians I know that are wandering in the wilderness today? For 40 years, their entire life probably, because they will not stop their lousy lifestyle and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how simple it is to do it? But we just won't do it. And then there are those who claim to be serving by faith, but their life is all built on works. It's just as bad. Joshua chapter 6. They finally went into the promised land. You know who went into the promised land? All those that were not alive when God told them to go in the first time, they all died, except for Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb went in to spy out the promised land. They came back and said to Moses, "We can go. We can do it." And so they survived the 40 years wandering. Joshua took the place of Moses. So they come to Jericho. In Joshua chapter 6, God said, "I'm going to give you Jericho, but the city will be destroyed." But God said, "Here's what I want you to do." So go down in verse 17, if you will. God said, "You're going to go around the city for 7 days, and then on the seventh day, I'm going to give you the city. Just blow the trumpets and shout with a loud voice, and the city's going to fall." But he said, when it does, verse 17 here, Joshua chapter 6, "And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are in it. To the Lord shall be accursed to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that were sent." Now then, I want you to look up here in chapter 7, if you will. Verse 1. He said, "And God also said, the city shall be accursed." And then he said, "Don't take anything out of the city. Don't take the animals. Don't take the gold. Don't take the silver, don't take anything, because God said it is accursed." It is accursed. Look, if you will, in verse 1, chapter 7. "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel." Let me ask you a question. Don't answer this out loud. What is the accursed thing? Don't answer me out loud. What is the accursed thing? Look in verse 11, if you will. "Israel has sinned," God said, "and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff." I like that. Do you have any accursed thing among your stuff? Everybody has stuff, don't they? You kids leave my things alone. You leave my stuff alone. Get out of my stuff. Everybody has their stuff, don't they? I got stuff out in the barn. I keep the barn locked because it's my stuff. Everything out there is my stuff. You got stuff. You got stuff that belongs to you. You don't want anybody to touch it. You got stuff. Verse 13. "Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you." What is the accursed thing? What is it? Verse 21. Now, Joshua went to Achan and he said, "Look, you took the accursed thing. What did you do with it?" In verse 20, "And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful or a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold, and 50 shekels weight. Then I coveted them, and took them, and behold, they are hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. My question is, what is the accursed thing? Now, if you want to answer me, go ahead, but you may be wrong. Now, look at what he took. He took a beautiful Babylonish garment. Now, I can imagine looking at this, can't you? It was probably red or purple or whatever, covered with gold trimmings and silver, and it probably did look beautiful. Probably did. And he took the silver, and he took the gold, and he coveted them. What was, Bill?
Away from Christ?
Sin? What were you going to say?
I was going to say sin.
Sin?
Or there's something that has to
do with
sin.
Well, actually,
they were not content with what God had given them in the land.
Uh-huh.
Didn't he tell
them
not to take the spoil?
He told them not to take it. And they took it. Well, Dana,
anything that they would have
said, Dana has probably an... You're all close, but I think Daniel has the closest answer. Anything that came before God is the accursed thing. They took the silver, yes. But here's a secret word. He said in verse 21, I coveted them. Anything that you covet above putting God first is an accursed thing. He said, I coveted these things. Now, let's go on down here to chapter 8, if you will. And I want you to look at something. After they took Jericho, God said, leave all the stuff there. There was nothing wrong with the cattle, nothing wrong with the Babylonish garment, there was nothing wrong with the silver, nothing wrong with the gold, nothing wrong with that. But the fact that they took it when God told them not to, that's they coveted that. And then they hid it in the dirt under the tent. I often wonder how many Christians have things hidden in the dirt under their house. Bill.
I chose the silver because that's what we used to pay off.
What?
I chose the silver because that's what we used to pay off.
That's true. Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. Top 10.
I thought you said it was cursed.
It was accursed. Yeah. It was accursed. Yeah, but it wasn't... Let me show you my point. It is accursed, yes. But it's not the thing that's accursed. It's the idea behind it that's accursed. Go on down to chapter 8, if you will. Remember the word coveted them. It wasn't the silver and the gold and the garment that was accursed. They were just items, things, stuff, more stuff.
Did they basically worship idols and material things?
Well, they did, yes. And that's what it leads to. Idol worship, materialism, worldlyism. Now, look, going down to chapter 8, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. Now, remember what happened. They took the stuff, and then the very next time they went to war, they failed. God wasn't behind it. And so they said to Ai, Achan, Joshua said, and so going down here to, well, let's back up here if you will. Go to verse 24. And Joshua and all the children of Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons and daughters, and oxen, and asses, and sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? Now wait. Was it the silver and the gold and the garment and all that was that what troubled them? No. What troubled them was Achan's attitude. His attitude. He put this stuff among his stuff and he put it all before God. God told him not to take it. Now look if you will. Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day, and all Israel stoned him with stone. Boy, pretty drastic, huh? You know, it's not drastic. You know what God said? Let's put a stop to the problem before it starts. I'm going to tell you something. If you've got somebody in your church that is a problem, put the end to the problem before it gets into the whole church. Sound harsh? I have done it. We have a small church, but we don't have a problem. There are times when I have gotten rid of the problem before it started. Sometimes I've done it discriminately. Sometimes I've done it openly. We had some people that left our church not too long ago. They were a problem. We had some people that left our church way back when we started this little church in Perry School. They left the church. You know what? I let them go. I didn't ask them to come back. They were, get rid of the problem before it started. And they stoned them. Now go on down to chapter 8, if you will. After they got rid of the problem, now they're going to go back to war again. They're going to get rid of all these people in the land that have the abominations, the homosexuality, all these other things that create sin problems, that create diseases. Listen, you have sex with a beast, that's going to cause a disease. Isn't it? You better believe it. Do you know how many sexual diseases there are out there today that cannot be cured? And all these originated with, if I have a false God that says it's okay to do that, my God said it's okay. My God said it's okay to do all these things. That's what false gods do. Baal was a false god. Ashtaroth was a false god, the god of the sun and the god of the moon. Ashtaroth was also the virginity god. Add it all up. Verse 1, fear not, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. Isn't that something? You see, I finally got rid of the problem in Israel. Achan was the problem. I told the people of Israel not to take of the silver and the gold and the good. There's nothing wrong with it, but I told you not to take it. It was accursed because you put it before God. Anything you put before God is an accursed thing. If it's a worldly thing, a thing that takes your vision off of God, your focus off of God, your service off of God, it's an accursed thing. And then he said in verse 2, thou shalt do to Ai and its king as thou didst unto Jericho and its king. Pretty good, huh? But notice what God said. Only the spoil of it, that's the silver, the gold, all the goods, all the precious things, the spoil of it, and the cattle thereof, shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Well, isn't that strange? When we went into Jericho, God said, don't take anything. But now we're going to come into Ai, and God said, take it all. It's yours. Lay thee an ambush for the city behind it. Well, what's the difference? What's the difference? Well, I'm going to show you the difference. Go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, and I think you'll see the difference. Let's go to verse 19 first, okay? In verse 19, now we have here in chapter 5 and chapter 6 of Matthew, excuse me, got a tickle. We have here how God said, how Christ said, serve the Lord, basically. And in verse 19, he said, in verse chapter 6, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through to steal. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you get that? You know what? When I look at the world, remember in Matthew chapter 4, Satan took Jesus Christ up on the mountain and he showed him the world. And he said, look, Satan said to Jesus, he said, I'm going to give you all of this if you'll worship me. Remember that? First he took him up on the pinnacle and he showed him Jerusalem and he said, I'll give you all of this. Then he took him up on a high mountain and he showed him all the world. And he said, look, Jesus, look at all that. I'll give it to you if you'll just worship me. Do you remember that? Do you know what that is? The worldly possessions. Anytime a worldly possession comes before God Almighty, it's an accursed thing. Satan was offering Christ the accursed thing. I'll give you the world. Of course, we know that Christ is not going to accept that. He's God. He already owns the world. But you know what God is saying? Look, you put aside all that worldly garbage and all the worldly religions and all the worldly treasures. Look, there's a lot of worldly treasures out there. I know a lot of preachers that could be filthy rich if they served the world, but they gave it up to serve Christ and be poor. The only thing is, when I give up the accursed thing and serve God, notice what he gives me in verse 2. The spoils. God might even go far as to make you rich. If you just put, that's the point, that's the key. Put Christ first. And he'll give you the treasures of the world. Isn't that what Jesus said? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. You see, Achan coveted these things. He said, I coveted them. That's what was accursed. The covetousness, the coveting, putting the world first, wanting all this treasure, all this silver, all this gold, the beautiful garment. I want that. But it comes from the world. And as soon as you begin to compromise and begin to neglect God first, you begin to compromise, the world comes first, you're headed for a fall. God calls it accursed. That's the accursed thing. It wasn't the goods, the material things. It was my attitude behind it. You see. And so Israel now has finally accepted the accursed thing. And now, you see, God has withheld all the fine things that he would have given them. Oh, they've got a lot of gold, a lot of silver. They're wealthy bankers. They're this, they're that. But they lack. They lack the fellowship with a loving God. They lack all of that because they haven't put his righteousness first. And now we're living in the times of the Gentiles, and I think times are going to get worse. You know, if you look around the world today, it's pretty disgusting, isn't it? It's pretty tragic. There are so many things out there in the world that take my focus off of Jesus Christ. There are buildings, there are people, there are things, attitudes, everything out there in this world to take my focus off of Jesus Christ and serving him. It's sad. And we look at the world and we say, well, the poor little homosexual, I should just accept him, not me. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to put anything before Christ. The poor little lemon, they're just so sweet. No, they're not. I don't have to accept it, and I don't intend to. And all these lovely little politicians, they're just out there to do things. No, they're not. Nancy Pelosi, what a joke. Did you see that? Raise that gavel up. I'm the most powerful woman in the world. I got news for you, Nancy. When you meet God face to face, you'll just see how powerful you really are, you hypocrite. pretty little Nancy Pelosi. She's pretty on the inside, on the outside, but on the inside, she's a joke. In closing, oh, by the way, I just want to mention something. You know why these politicians want to raise the minimum wage? Do you think they care about you? Or do you think they care about the person that... You know why they want to raise the minimum wage? You know how much tax money they're going to get out of it? Do you? You raise the minimum wage $2 an hour, you know how much tax money that is? They don't care about you. Or it's a crazy world we live in. You know why? We live in the times of the Gentiles. God has backed off and he said, well, there's your world. You got it. You go ahead and live in it. Anyway, let me ask you something before we close. Are you going to heaven when you die? Or do you know? Do you believe Christ died on the cross for your sins? Well, if you do, you're going to heaven. If you don't, you're a false Christian. If you're here this morning and you don't know you're going to heaven when you die, I know I'm a harsh old preacher, but I don't care. I don't care if anybody likes me. I don't care about that. They're my wife's dog. I hope the little rascal likes me. That's the only thing I care about. No, I'm kidding. If you're going to heaven when you die, there's only one way to know. That's to put your faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Christ died on the cross for your sins, and all you have to do is believe it. It's that simple. Let's have a word of prayer. I went over a little bit. I apologize, but whatever. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for Christ who died on the cross for us. Give us the ability to put him first, not the world, to seek his righteousness, to serve him by faith. That's all he wants. When I serve him by faith, and when I am willing to give up the world, then that's when he gives me the world. We just can't see it. I have to be willing to give up the world, the things of the world, the accursed thing, because if I don't give it up, it's an accursed thing. But when I'm willing to give it up and serve him, it's no longer the accursed thing. He is willing to give me all those things that were actually accursed when I put him first. It's so simple. It's so simple. Only a fool would reject it. We thank you for Christ. In his name, amen. Okay, thank you very much. And I suppose we ought to sing one verse of the 455, I guess it was. One verse, a cappella. We'll sing the last verse, verse number 3. Please rise if you will. And then we'll have, we're going to wish Vince and Goy and Pim a pleasant trip. And I guess they got some cake downstairs for that, don't they? Did somebody bring some cake? I think they did, yeah. Okay. 'Twill be my endless theme in glory. With the angels I will sing. 'Twill be a song with glorious harmony. When the courts of heaven ring, in my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. Okay, thank you.